In the name of the risen Christ.
Amen.
Amen. Alleluia, Christ is risen.
Christ is risen indeed. Alleluia.
After all of the devotion of the 40 days of Lent and our pouring out of ourselves in worship and prayer and Holy Week, and at the high point of Easter Sunday, it's easy to gloss over the reality that Easter has only just begun. In the tradition of the church, there are 40 days of Lent and then 50 days for us to celebrate Easter. We celebrate throughout these days that physical and spiritual death no longer have power over us. And we are renewed by the power of the grace and hope that comes from that believing. Now, I want to stop for a moment and remind us that we proclaim this every week. This belief that God was not only willing to live and dwell among us in the person of Jesus Christ, but was willing to give his life for us and to show us that death could not hold him by coming back. Belief in God and Jesus Christ means believing in the power of resurrection and in the power of renewal. I want you to know that when we say those words, on the third day he rose again, I really believe it. I really and truly believe that Jesus conquered the bonds of death and hell, that we might know the renewing power of resurrection life. And today's gospel reminds us that whether you join me in that faith today, or you come today not so sure, more like Thomas, who needs to see and touch for yourself, I want you to know that I believe the resurrection power will indeed meet you in flesh and blood. Many of you all know that today is my last Sunday until I return from a 3-month sabbatical that'll begin this afternoon. The Lilly Foundation, Inc., who granted the funding to make this possible, used a word over and over again in their grant materials: renewal. I love that this sabbatical time for you and for me begins squarely in the season where we celebrate the power of the resurrection, which is at the heart of renewal. Today's scriptures point to the renewing promise of resurrection power and life. We'll start with the gospel. It begins on Easter day, but it's evening at this point. And for 20 chapters in John, it's been leading up to the account of this night. Jesus has been preparing the disciples for this very moment. Throughout, he's been saying things like, "I am the vine, you are the branches. I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me will not walk in darkness, but will have light." And so on and so on. Jesus promises this belonging and this promise of being and having what he has, whether he's there or not. When we find the disciples all hunkered down and the doors securely locked because they seem to have forgotten the promise. They forgot so quickly. I found many Christians have much greater ease at contemplating the misery of their life in the season of Lent than they do celebrating the joy of Easter, the hope and presence of the risen Christ. The same was true for Jesus' disciples. They poured themselves out in risk-taking for the sake of the healing message of Jesus. But then after the cross and after the tomb, they didn't know quite what to do. This Jesus was way more powerful than they had experienced to that point or imagined. And they were afraid. So they did what people do when they're afraid. They hid. And they locked the doors. So here's promise number one of renewal. The risen Christ gets through our locked and shut doors. To those first disciples, he comes through to them without even having to pick the lock. And there he gives them the Holy Spirit. And when Thomas asks to see his hands and his feet, he allows Thomas to touch the wounds. Jesus has a way of using the Holy Spirit to open our locked doors and get to us, even when we have shut ourselves far away. Here's the second promise of renewal. The resurrected Christ has given us everything we need. What we need is here and will inspire us to live in hope and grace. Our lectionary gives us this reading from the second chapter of Acts, the fourth chapter of Acts. Yes, in the first days for the Christian community after Jesus rose from the dead, they were living in utopia. No doubt about it. They were selling everything they had, and not one person had a need. My siblings in Christ, it's important to know here that this incredible way of living and being was inspired by a belief in the risen Christ, and not the other way around. It wasn't that unstoppable force of hope and mercy and grace and love that guided the hearts of the first Christians to respond to profound and generous care for one another. Now, it's not in our lectionary anywhere, but if you keep reading on into the fifth chapter of Acts, you'll find that the good start of the Christian community is halted by a terrible story of Ananias and his wife Sapphira. And instead of continuing to trust in the hope of this resurrection that was inspiring such an incredible way of living, they started thinking about themselves. And they decided to hold something back from trusting in the power of the Spirit of God at work in the community. They didn't trust that what they needed was right in front of them. The promise of resurrection life is that it's not an easy thing to grasp. Being an Easter person is never simple. Maybe that's why we go on vacation during Easter. There's a reason that we journey through the desert to Jerusalem, to the cross, and to the tomb, and back to this upper room year after year. The risen Christ taught these people and us that there is enough, even when we're not sure if there will be enough. The clergy of this diocese came into 2024 weary and tired as a body of leaders. It had been 3.5 years almost this January since we had the leadership of a diocesan bishop. This makes the upcoming 3 months of a rector being on a sabbatical leave look very, very short. And at a clergy retreat in late January that our diocesan bishop, now diocesan bishop, then diocesan bishop-elect held just weeks before her consecration, we sang a chant together. What we need is here. What we need is here. We just started singing it over and over again. And as we chanted together, you could feel the grasping of holding on to whatever we thought we needed to hold on to, loosen up. And our hearts opened and our minds began to transform when we started to see each other. What Calvary needs is here too. And what Calvary needs will be here next week, and on into the coming days and weeks and months and years. Finally, we have this wonderful Psalm 133 offering us a final promise of resurrection renewal long before the resurrection even happened. It's faithful people on a journey are drawn together in unity. This is the second to last psalm in what is known as the Psalm of Ascents or the Pilgrimage Psalms. And it promises that communities who commit to the journey, that commit to being pilgrims, will find unity in their faithfulness. To be unified in community is this wonderful and very possible thing. And it's so wonderful, it's like the oil of consecration that drips down the high priest Aaron's beard and even flows onto the collar of his robes. This image reminds us that the blessing of Yahweh is even more than that priestly consecration, more than soaking rain. Blessing is to find oneness and harmony. As I watched Bishop Nettie place the oil of chrism upon the heads of our confirmands at the Easter Vigil last week, I felt as though I was enjoying Calvary in a Psalm 133 moment. An abundance of hope and the strength of a unified community symbolized by the oil of chrism upon faithful people's heads, reminding us that the Holy Spirit is powerfully at work in each and every one of us. These are the promises of resurrection life. I'm going to carry these promises with me while I'm away, and I pray you'll carry these promises with you as well. The risen Christ will come crashing through our locked doors. The risen Christ has given us everything we need. What we need is here, and we'll continue to be here even when none of us are here. And as we journey through sabbatical, together yet apart, in these coming months, the risen Christ promises to draw us ever closer together in unity. Amen.